If you got the Bible app, you can certainly follow along. If you want to pull that up, you can just go into events, and you'll find Connect HSM right in there, and you can follow along. You know, summer's over, basically. I hate to say it, but summer's over. We're back in school, all of those things. And, you know, one of the great things about summer is our freedom, because when summer starts, we're looking forward to it, right? School's over. We get our freedom. We don't necessarily have anybody telling us what to do anymore. Maybe we do because we have a job or some things like that. But we love freedom. We love our freedom from school, and going back to school kind of is like almost depressing, because you're like, man, I'm kind of back to all that junk again. Because we really do, as people, as humans, we struggle with dealing with authority, don't we? We struggle with dealing with authority. The concept of authority, we don't like somebody telling us what to do. Deep down, all of us, we all want to be in control. We all want to be in control. We don't always want somebody telling us what to do. It can create tension with our relationships. It can create tension with relationships with our friends, with our parents, with our teachers, with our coaches, with our bosses, with police officers. I mean, like, all the way around. And for the next 4 weeks, on Wednesday nights, we're going to be talking about this a little bit. We're going to be talking about the purpose of God's authority in our life, because we can all have issues with God's authority in our life, big time, whether we realize it or not. And you might be like, wow, Jay, this sounds like really boring. But I'm telling you that this may not be something you want to hear, but this is something that can make a difference. And I don't want you to think I'm going to come at this from the perspective of telling you, like, talking down to you, like you're wrong, like you're an idiot, or anything along those lines. See, this is something that we all struggle with, humans, not just teenagers, human beings, period. We all have a little bit of an authority issue. And so we're going to go through the book of Jonah. And I'm sure a lot of you have maybe heard of the story of Jonah. If you haven't heard of the story of Jonah, known as Jonah and the whale, though the Bible never says whale, by the way. It just says great fish. Could that be a whale? Probably. But it never actually says the word whale. Anyway, from the beginning of history, God has always spoken to people, and he's spoken to human beings in different ways and in different seasons of time. He's used different forms of communication, from walking with Adam and Eve in the garden and talking to them, like, specifically, like one-on-one, like we are, to talking to Moses through a burning bush and all kinds of different crazy stuff. And one of the ways in the Old Testament was through prophets, and these guys walking around as prophets of God, and God would speak to them, and they would go on behalf of God to either bring a message or bring, you know, whatever it was that God would want there. And Jonah was one of these guys. Jonah was one of these prophets. He's a prophet from the Old Testament. And so we're just going to kind of go through the book of Jonah here. So let me just read you a couple verses so that we can see what's up with Jonah, because I think you're going to relate with this dude quite a bit. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord, and he headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Not too many verses there, but a lot we can read into this. Jonah's one job was to communicate what God had told him to people. God said, go here and preach to these people. And he's like, nah, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to do completely the opposite thing. He chose to disobey God. And it says actually that he flee from the Lord. Like that has like the intent of like, I'm running. I'm not just like slowly like turning away. No, like he took off. And here's the thing about Nineveh. Nineveh was a terror. Like, think about like the worst place in the world in terms like morality and all of that kind of stuff. Like, this was a terrible city in terms of like wickedness. So like, if you're a prophet of God and you're a missionary, if you will, and you know that you're supposed to be going somewhere and you're supposed to be telling people about God, and like, you would think this would be a place you'd be like, wow, that's a place that really needs God and really needs what God has to say. And instead, he's going the complete other way. Here's what I think's funny, though, because, like, surface level, okay, Jonah's a prophet of God, right? You would think he would know about the character of God probably more than most, okay? More than most people. Does he honestly, like really, dude, you really think that this is a good idea? You're a prophet of God. Like God's GPS is gonna follow you, right? God's gonna be like, oh, I didn't notice that you went the other way. Like, give me a break, dude. Not smart. It's ridiculous. But it's exactly what he did. And this is a big issue for Jonah because obviously he's got an authority issue. He's got major authority issues with God because he wanted to do his own thing. So he skips town, heads to Tarshish instead of going to Nineveh. Let me ask you this question. And this can apply to a lot of us too. If Jonah was really in control of his life, why did he feel the need to run from God? You don't need to answer this out loud. I just want you to think about this. If he was really in control of his life, why did he need to run from God? It's showing his struggle. It's showing his deep desire to want to run his own life. And that sounds really familiar. It sounds really familiar to me. I can think of plenty of times that I wanted to run my own life. You were in the bridge this past Sunday. You heard a lot of my story. And I know a lot of you have heard it a few different times in a few different ways anyway. But I think we can all relate to this just a little bit. It strikes close to home for a lot of us. Here's the thing. We see authority as domination. A lot of times, people that have authority issues, that have a problem with authority, have a problem with somebody over them telling them what to do, whether it's a boss, a teacher, a pastor, or whatever. A lot of times it's because they see authority in the wrong light. It may be because they've been hurt by somebody in the past, maybe because they got burned. And I get that. Sometimes that can skew our perspective. You get burned by somebody, maybe it's even somebody close to you who is an authority figure, and they fail you. People fail you all the time. People fail us. People are imperfect. That's what makes them people. And so we see that authority as equaling domination, as somebody dominating us, like a dictatorship. I don't want to be told what to do deep down as a person. I don't like to be micromanaged. I can't stand the thought of my decisions not being my own. I mean, let's be honest here, guys. And we flirt all the time with having this relationship with God because when we see authority as equaling domination, that's when we rebel. That's when we rebel against God because we're not looking at authority in the right way. Any kind of authority. And don't get me wrong, there are good teachers, bad teachers, good all this and that. There's good and bad. And I'm not saying that this is like you may have a specific circumstance that you're thinking of, Jay, you don't know what was done to me. You don't know what this person did, and this is why I've got an authority issue here. And I'm sorry for that, and I feel for that. But we can't take that same idea and look at God in the same way. Because God will never fail us. He'll never let us down. But when we see God as a dictator who just wants to use us up and toss us to the side, that's not God. That is not God. And even when we choose to obey him, and then we mutter under our breath while we're doing it, yeah, well, I don't know. How often do we do that? We all do it. This is the mindset Jonah had, and he tried to run from God. And guys, that kind of thinking could not be further from the truth. Could not be further from the truth. So let's see how this worked out for Jonah. Verse 4. This is a big passage, so just stick with me here. But it's important to hear it because there's a lot of cool things in this. A lot of cool things. To be honest, there's a piece of this story of Jonah that really didn't hit me in all the times I've read it until I was reading through it this past week. It says, and the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God that they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. What? The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he'll take notice of us so that we'll not perish. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity. Kind of like throwing dice, if you will. Let's see who it is. Let's see who it lands on. They cast lots, and it fell on Jonah. So they asked him, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What's your country? From what people are you? He answered, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. This terrified them. And they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased. So we see Jonah struggling with God's authority, and it begins to affect other people. I don't know if we think about that all the time. Our authority issues sometimes can affect other people. We're thinking it's just affecting us, but it can possibly affect other people and other people around us. The ship he's on starts to sink into the storm, and the crew had to make a tough decision because Jonah's like, toss me out. Crew has to make a tough decision here as to whether they're gonna toss him out or whether they aren't. Let's look at the sailors' response here for a second. All the sailors on this boat, right? These guys recognized how ridiculous this was. They saw how ridiculous running from God was. And it even says, if you notice, that these guys had other gods, right? So we can even say these guys aren't followers of God, of the Lord, that they're followers of other gods. But they risk their lives trying to keep Jonah alive. It says they start rowing the other way. If you ask me, these guys have more compassion, that they show more of a Christian attitude than Jonah, who's the prophet, who's supposed to be going to Nineveh to spread the word of the Lord there. These guys act more like Christians than he does. They even ask God's forgiveness for tossing Jonah aside. And these guys aren't even necessarily what we would call believers. They're acting more like a believer than he is. So what about us? See, Jonah, he's lost sight of the purpose of God's authority in his life. He's not seeing that. He tries to manipulate God. He tries to run from God, to disobey God, to try to be his own master. He didn't want God's protection. He didn't want God's protection. How do you see God's authority in your life? Or do you? Something you've even thought about. Because God does have authority in your life, whether you realize it or not. You can choose to ignore it. You can do what you want with that. But God does have authority in your life. And the way that you respond to that, the way that you see that, the way that that maybe drives your decisions can make all the difference in the world. When we see it as domination, that's a problem. That's when we rebel. If you have a relationship with God through Jesus, you should love God's authority. That might sound weird, but in all honesty, if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, you should love God's authority in your life. You should love it. Based on the reality that it's God's protective authority over you. Because his authority over us, everything he does is for us because he loves us, for our own good, as we hear that term so often thrown around, it's for your own good. But in all honesty, it's the truth. God's authority over us is for our own good. Not this dominating authority, that's this distorted view that we think of God. We think of God as like Thor with the hammer coming down or whatever. Tell me what to do. Instead, we should look at it for what it is, which is God's protection. Look at what Paul says. Romans 11, 33 through 36 says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. I love that part. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Do you ever think about that? Who does God go to ask for advice? Nobody. He's God, right? all things exist to give God glory, all pain and all blessings. That's hard to get our head around. Even the junk that you go through exists to give God glory. The good things that you go through exist to give God glory. And it may not seem like it when you're in the midst. When you're in the middle of it happening, it doesn't seem like it. But God can be glorified in our successes and in our failures. And there is proof right in this passage of scripture that we're looking at. Even in Jonah's story, the sailors on the boat saw who God was and turned to him despite Jonah's disobedience. That's the part. I was telling you there was a part that I'd never noticed before in the story that I never really thought about. And I don't know why, because it's like plain as day and it hits you right in the face. But think about that. Even in the midst of Jonah's rebellion, right? Jonah tells God, I'm going to do whatever I want. Peace out. What was God's initial purpose for Jonah to go to Nineveh? For believers to come to God, for people to repent. And what happened on this boat despite Jonah's best efforts? A whole group of sailors who had their own gods ended up coming to God at the end through Jonah's failure. That blows my mind. And that gives me hope, because even in the times when I stink, when I screw up, when I mess up, which is all the time, God still can be glorified through that, whether I realize it or not. Makes you wonder if Jonah even realized that when they tossed him off, when they were doing the like one, two, three, you know? Did he even realize that through his, what he probably assumed was a sacrifice, that these, that he was actually fulfilling what God wanted him to do? Look at John 17 here. These are the words of Jesus. He was praying during this passage. Praying, who is he praying for? He's praying for you. He's praying for the church. He says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Even when it doesn't feel like it, look like it, smell like it, God's authority exists for our protection. Let's look back to Jonah, chapter 1 here. And we'll be done here in just a minute. Verse 15 says, then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. Just think about that minute for a second. Like, let's just stop at that verse. That'd be pretty crazy. The storm is crazy. Like, the hurricane, like Harvey, whatever, that's happening right now. You take a guy and you throw him off, and the second he hits the water, and it's all calm. I would poop my pants. For real. I mean, think about that. Sometimes just the simplest verses in scripture, we just blow right by them. Stop for a second and just think about what you're reading. It says that this, the men greatly feared the Lord, you think? And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. They came to the Lord, right? In spite of Jonah's rebellion. It says, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. It's a perfect picture of God's perfect authority. God sent Jonah to reveal the word of the Lord to sinners. That's what he sent him to do. Jonah went the complete opposite direction, and you know what he did? He revealed the word of the Lord to sinners, even though that's what he didn't want to do. Jonah disobeyed God's command. Still, a whole boat full of sinners came to the Lord. And God protected Jonah during the whole time, even though dude didn't deserve it. And neither do we. We're going to talk more next week about the fish and all that fun stuff. But the connection point for the night, guys, as we wrap up, is that God's authority exists for our protection. God's authority exists for our protection. It was true for Jonah, and it's still true for you and for me today. God's authority is not over us to beat us down and to tell us what to do and to make us mindless robots that are just following orders. If that's what you think God's authority is, then you don't have the view of my God. You've got some other God, not the God that I read in the Bible. That's not who I worship. you've got somebody else in mind, or you've had some sort of distorted view put into your head. Because that's not God. That's not Jesus. He loves us so much to protect us. That's why he's called our Heavenly Father. My kids hate authority. Boy, you tell Wilson what to do, he's four. Some of you have been at my house when or seen him down here when we just tell him something simple, you know? Like, buddy, don't go running outside in the mulch with no shoes on because you'll get a stick through your foot. Why? Like, screams at us. I want to go barefoot. You want to hurt yourself? Fine. I want to get in the pool without a floaty. You'll drown. No! You know, right? Like, he's like having a conniption. Buddy, my authority is for your protection, not because I just want to tick you off and tell you what not to do. It's because I love you that I'm not going to throw you into the pool without a floaty. I know you think you can swim. You can't. You're four. And we do the same thing to God. I mean, like, we crack up and we laugh. And trust me, we don't laugh at Will. It's annoying. But he's cute. I get it. But here's the deal. It's the same thing with God, because we act like a four-year-old all the time, yelling at God when he's telling us, guys, you need to do this. You probably shouldn't date this person. And you know it. Why? And you scream at God. You know you shouldn't be going to this party. Why? Because I love you. That's why. Yet we sit and scream at God. You know you shouldn't be involved in this. Why? Seriously, I mean, it sounds funny, but stop me when I'm wrong. This is what we do to God. Instead of looking at God's authority from the right perspective, that it exists for our protection because he loves us. Because he loves you so much, he's willing to tell you no. He's willing to stop you and have a fish come down and eat you if that's what it takes. Because he loves you that much. And we still tell him to shove off. Let's bow our head, close our eyes if we could for just a second. I just want to close in prayer. And guys, I hope you can all see yourself in a little way, in the way of Jonah. And I think you're going to more as we continue going through this book. But guys, God loves you so much that he's put his authority in your life. And by us telling him no and ignoring it and looking at God like just a big dictator, makes it really hard for us to grow in our relationship with him, even if we even have one. And so here's the first thing I guess I want to start with, is that if you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven, let me tell you about God, about the God, who, yes, has authority over your life because he loves you, but loved you so much that he sent his son to have a relationship with you. And this isn't about a religion. This isn't about joining our church or whatever. This is about a relationship with Jesus. Get all of the other stuff out of the way. This is about your eternal security. Do you know for 100% sure that if you were to drop over right now that you would be standing in the presence of God? I do. And I know some of you in here do. A lot of you in here do. But I believe that there's some of you that don't. God created you to have a relationship with him, and it's our sin, it's our rebellion, it's the things that we do against God that keep us from that, because God said that we need to be perfect to be in his presence, and we can't be perfect. There's nothing we can do to be perfect. And so he sent Jesus to pay the price for our sins. And by just accepting that, we can have eternal life. And we can know for sure that we're gonna go to heaven, that we're gonna be with him in heaven one day. And your life can be radically changed tonight, right here, right now, just by simply putting your faith and trust in him. And if you wanna know more about that, if you wanna have a conversation about that, I don't wanna make this awkward or weird or make anybody come forward or anything like that. I would just love to know. I won't call you out. I won't anything. We can have a conversation afterward, but would you just be willing to maybe look me right in the eye if you want to have a conversation about that tonight? And just me and you will see it, and we can talk afterwards. And so if we lock eyes, you're good. You can do that without anybody knowing that's around you. I would love to talk to you about that. Me or one of our leaders would love to show you what the Bible says about knowing for sure that you can have eternal life. For the rest of us, I hope that we can maybe have a different perspective on God's authority as we leave here tonight. God, I love you, Lord. I thank you for this time that we've had. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the example of Jonah. I thank you that we can see ourselves in this simple story. And I thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. Love us so much that you put your authority in our life for our protection. Because, Lord, sometimes we need protected from ourselves. I know I do at times. Lord, I pray for these students. Pray for each and every one of them. God, I know that they're facing some tough stuff at home, maybe some tough stuff at school, circumstances, situations that I don't even know about, but you do. So God, I pray you'd walk with them. You'd remind them who's really in charge, and that's you. And help them to listen to your authority for their protection. I pray, Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, God, that you would stir in their heart. You'd push them out of the chair to come up and talk to me or to one of our leaders about that. Thank you for the great night that we've had. Thank you for the fun. Thank you for the food that we're going to have. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.